As students who are constantly consuming media, we all know what it's like to be bombarded with bad ads. Think you could do it better? Look no further than a career in advertising.
Whether you're visually creative, clever with words, or great with client communication, working in an ad agency may be the fit for you.
To speak more on this, we invited advertising industry professional and University of Utah professor Jordan Howe to give us the rundown on all things agency life and his advice on paving your way into this career path as an undergrad. I'm Riley.
And I'm Diego.
And this is Hey You.
To start, Jordan introduced himself and his current roles in the marketing world and expanded on his connection to the industry.
Glad to be here. My name is Jordan Howe. I run an agency called Arcade Partners. It's a marketing firm. We've been in business for about the last year. I formed it with two of my former partners from a previous agency. We focus mostly in digital development, websites, and any content in digital spaces. Work with a few different clients, a lot of B2B kind of work, especially that's where we've been focusing over the last while. Before that, I was with the Summit Group. I was with them for about 15 years. And was a partner there for about 8, and that was a fantastic experience. I worked with a lot of different clients there. Before that, worked for a company down in Southern California for a few years, Ingram Micro, and dealt primarily with different mobile technologies in that, and a lot of technologies that are in the graveyard currently, like BlackBerry and Palm, Nokia, who's still somewhat out there, but a lot of folks that were very big and couldn't maintain it. So yeah, but that's kind of what brought me here. As a professor in the business school, I've been doing that for the last couple of years and teaching an advertising management course, which I enjoyed having Riley as a part of, and then also teaching the Intro to Marketing B-Core class. So kind of alternating semesters with that.
When asked about what brands he has worked with and what he's valued most about working with them, he noted,
"We ended up doing work on Microsoft itself as a brand, on Xbox, on Office, and like deep projects, like things that I wouldn't think that they would have reached out to a firm in Salt Lake City to help with, like things that were like, oh, this is really cool. It was cool to bring them on as a client back at my previous agency. I was very proud of that. We represented, T-Mobile was broken up and still has regional representation, but we had representation for more than half of the United States for about 8 years. And so I loved that. I worked with Intermountain Healthcare quite a bit, with Select Health for several years. And so something that I've really appreciated has been not just the wins of certain clients, but the longevity of the relationships. Most client relationships with agencies will last 2 to 3 years. The average that we had at the previous agency was 8.5 years with our clients. With our new agency, I hope to keep that trend going. So it's been a neat thing and something where I feel like it's been so important to just make actual connections with other people that are valuable and that they can rely on.
While the David Eccles School of Business has a marketing major, sometimes the realm of advertising falls through the cracks of the curriculum. To help bring more guidance to students who may be interested in learning more about what a career in advertising may look like, we had Jordan break down various roles within an agency and what it may entail.
To start, he dives into account services, his specialty.
There's several different roles inside of an agency. The hard thing as you're getting started in advertising is that some firms will name them certain ways and other firms will change them a little bit. So entry-level positions in advertising agencies are typically things like associate account coordinators, advertising associates, associate managers, project managers. If the word associate is involved, it's likely a place where you could get started. But those types of roles are typically on the account service side. So the account service portion of an agency are the people that manage the client relationships, that come up with plans and strategies for those clients, that are responsible for measurement on how campaigns perform and are responsible for ongoing work with those clients. So there's various roles inside of that. Often it will be called like an account manager or an account executive, or even sometimes an account director, depending on the agency. That's the one who's actually interacting back and forth with the client. So they're considered like the quarterback or point of the spear in the discussions. They're the person that if the client has someone they need to get upset with, they'll get upset with the account manager or the account executive. It's a funny role in account management because when things go well, you step back. You let the client be the one to kind of take the spotlight and be the one to get the credit. When things go badly, you step forward and say, we need to figure this out. I need to be there. If you flip those, you won't have a good relationship for very long. And it can be a hard thing, especially in moments of failure, when it's like, this campaign was terrible. We need to do something differently and the client's gonna be mad. They're going to be upset. But to have that reflex of like, no, I need to get out and I need to put myself out there and with a thought of like, here's a different plan or here's a different approach that we could take.
For those of you who think you may be more suited for a role that allows you to express your more tangible artistic skill sets, working in the creative department may be of interest to you.
There's the creative team, and this took me a minute to adjust my brain to out of college because I'd had a lot of moments of producing things myself, whether it was writing or videos or things like that, and thinking like, I'm a pretty creative person. And I remember a professor talking about brand management saying, none of you in here is creative. And I was like, what? And I like took offense to this. And he said, none of you is focused on purely creative efforts in what your careers will be. You would be down in design, or you'd be down in AV, or you'd be doing another major or being involved with another area of the campus. Creative people are out there. And he was like, they are people that are coming up with the most unusual thoughts. They're solving problems in super different ways. Let them do their thing. Work back with them. Be good with working back with them. Help them stay organized. Help them stay, most importantly, on strategy, but let them do their thing. And I really appreciated that advice, even though it took me a minute to like let it sink in. But the creative team members are typically designers, typically copywriters, art directors, videographers sometimes in-house, or audio folks if you have a specific focus on things like podcasts or other areas of production. And the groups that I've been able to work with over the years have just been mind-blowingly good with what they do. It's so fun to see creative teams at work, to see what they come up with, to help influence what they're coming up with, to refine it and work back with them. So I've loved that.
Not quite the creative type. Media buying may be more of your thing instead.
Another big part of a lot of agencies is media buying. Not every agency has that as a discipline, but when they do, the media buying discipline typically has planners, buyers, and coordinators. So it's people that are coming up with how media strategies should be built. Very often lately, that'll be inside of digital platforms and programs. It could be with a lot of familiarity with platforms like Adobe Experience Manager, and where they're able to kind of put together how something should work, have the buyers that are either negotiating with vendors, which is becoming less and less important as more of the digital platforms are being used. Good luck to someone who has a budget and thinks that they can negotiate with Google or with Meta or something like that. It's just not typically the case unless you have major budgets. But the buyers will be the ones kind of with their hands on the levers with the platforms, making sure that buys are placed, that they're trafficked appropriately, that they're going on and off, and that they're managing to the budget. And then the coordinator types in that are folks that are making sure that invoices are being connected back from platforms back to accounting and folks like that.
Some people may find themselves more interested in working with brands to help control their brand stories and narratives outside of just traditional advertising spots. If this sounds like you, social media and PR opportunities may be best suited for you.
Another group that I would put out there A lot of agencies do have public relations or social media. Sometimes those are combined categories inside of a firm. Public relations being often PR managers or PR coordinators, coordinators being more the entry-level types of positions, PR managers being ones who are coming up with earned media opportunities, crisis communications, other kinds of work back with the media, and making sure that really you can get third-party validation on your messaging. It's pretty fascinating that, you know, you get wrapped up in the idea with advertising, like, oh, we can say what we want out there about ourselves. And sometimes people listen to that, other times they don't. Very often people will be more eager to listen if it's under another party's banner where the New York Times is saying something great about your product or service versus the ad that's on the side of the New York Times. Another area I'd say that most agencies have is production as well. So where you'd have production managers, people that are responsible for actually working with outside vendors who are getting things made for the clients. So sometimes that would be if you're working with outside video or audio, if you're working with outside print, if you're working with outside resources to actually build things. A few projects that I've been involved with through the years have been more with like spatial design and building out rooms and things like that and interactive experiences. And that can require some sophisticated production planning. Most producers that I've known have been very good at asking questions and thinking of the right questions to ask, and they love checklists. Like production folks are, they're with a clipboard in hand, either physically or virtually, and they're just like, yep, got this thing, got this. What about this thing? If anyone listening has that proclivity and you're drawn to like, oh, I'd love to just feel like I've accomplished something. I've worked with the team. Production can be a great way to go. So, and then one other that I'd say that is kind of a subset of account service, but often blends between media and account service is analytics. And so often agencies will have in-house analytics or they'll hire outside resources to keep track of and shepherd the analytics for the clients. But that's a growing area inside of firms to make sure that measurement is happening and that you're reacting to those measurements in smart ways and giving recommendations back to your clients. That's something that can really set firms apart or set people apart if they have that kind of understanding.
Agencies are known to work extensively off cross-team collaboration. To touch more on what it looks like, how it mirrors the collegiate experience, and what traits to keep in mind when collaborating, Jordan shared.
I would say a funny thing about most firms that I've either where I've worked or what I've seen in firms that I've worked with. Early in my career, I had assumed like, oh, on the account management team, you will work a lot with other account managers. You kind of don't. Like, you know each other, you interact to some degree. The vast amount of your time will be spent across other disciplines within the organization, working back with and building relationships with the designers, the copywriters, the media buyers, producers, other folks that you're really developing the things with for clients. I think that in my experience, that responsibility has rested on account service to make sure that that collaboration is happening. It can organically happen from anybody in the organization. The important thing I'd say is that it does happen. But I honestly, like, I was glad in our class last semester, Riley, where it was like, let's come up with a campaign for a client, and you're working across different teams and you're working with people that maybe you would or wouldn't interact with otherwise. That is what an agency experience is like. It is like constant projects that you might have in a class, and it's like having multiple classes because you'll likely be assigned to multiple clients. Some people at firms will have one client they're assigned to. Some people will have five that they're assigned to or more sometimes. And being able to work with those different clients, being able to work well with people inside of the firm, and something in that that can be so important is being someone whether it's an account service role or any of the other roles in an agency, someone that knows that you can be relied upon to get things done in the time that you said you would, like you'll live up to your commitments, that's huge. And being someone that is like enjoyable to work with. Like, and it's easy to see on teams and classes sometimes. You can tell the teams that have enjoyed their collaboration together. You can tell the teams that had to pull teeth in order to get people together once a week or once before the actual presentation. But people that like have that mindset and say, oh, I'm going to approach this team as an actual participant and a value and someone that can be relied on for the things that I'll do. And I think that those skills can be crafted even unexpectedly in college.
He later explained what students who may want to pursue a career in advertising should keep in mind.
I think that one of the things that was hardest for me to adjust to was the ebbs and flows of the work itself. And so inside of an agency, you can have extremely busy times and you can have extremely not busy times. And during an extremely not busy time, to have the reaction to that, to say like, oh, I'll think of some things that could be a proactive approach for what a client is trying to figure out that I know that they're dealing with, or I'll spend time making sure we're more organized or working back on whatever, doing things that are helpful to the agency itself. Before working at an agency, when I was client side, it felt like a much more steady stream of activity. And at least at some of those earlier spots that I'd started at, it just felt like it kind of undulated a bit more than what I'd expected. And so being able to be smart about filling those gaps and doing things that are beneficial to the agency, to the client, to yourself, those are great things to try to work on and work through. I think with those busy times, and especially if you get in longer stretches of very busy times, the concept of work-life balance doesn't exist. And I think that that's something for people in this industry to really be thoughtful about and to say, do I want to be great at this, or am I just looking for a job? And it's fair if people are just looking for jobs. There's plenty of great jobs and there's great things to do. If you want to be great at this work and you want to be someone that can be relied on by your teams and by your clients and coming up with great new ideas and support, that's a pretty constant thing. And there's breaks and there's other good things inside of it. But I'd say it, especially in the early years of your career, to be someone that will put in the extra work, to put in the homework, to do more than what the client is asking, it's huge. And it builds new muscles or calluses or whatever. It just really helps how you develop. And what I think is interesting is that friends that I had that went into accounting knew that the first few years of accounting would be really hard. Like when they got to a firm, they were like, yeah, I'm going to get bowled over for 4 years. And friends that I had that went into medicine, like I'm going to get thrashed for the first 6 years, even after I'm done with medical school. And sometimes in advertising, I think people want to think like, well, I should come in and have kind of a cool, easy experience. It's like, no, it's you gotta make these opportunities and build something and really show what you are capable of and gain a lot of new skills. You'll learn a lot in school. You'll learn a lot more working with clients, working with those teams, and having like this concentrated period of growth. And if you approach it like that, and just say to yourself, like, I might get bowled over for a while, but I'm ready for the challenge, I'll step up. Those are people that I've seen do exceptionally well inside of agencies. Ones that have come in and said, like, I want my 8-to-5 kind of experience, and, you know, don't bother me if it's evenings or weekends. It's just not really cut out, only because of the nature of the work sometimes. And I don't love that that's the case. It's just kind of what it is. And I think it speaks to whether this is something that you're really interested in and you want to be great at, or if it's something that you just kind of want to do. So
As for career readiness advice, we asked Jordan to share tips for those eager to break into this field, including his thoughts on portfolios and personal projects.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned portfolios, because that goes to one of my main pieces of advice, which is to make stuff. I think that some of the folks that I've been most impressed with in interviews and people that have done really well from the time of hire to moving up inside of the agency or to finding great new opportunities for themselves afterwards are people that show and know how to take something from an initial idea to something that's actually made, to something that you can see and say like, oh yeah, this, it wasn't just like I had a cool idea. It's that I had a cool idea for a video and I got together with my friends and made this really cool video that was for a class or was for fun or whatever. And if you have those things that you've made, those become part of your portfolio. And as you keep building your portfolio through your career, all you're really doing is putting in more projects and campaigns and things that basically say like, well, we approached this problem in this way and here was the result. It's mostly here's what it looks like. That's what anyone is looking at when they're interviewing or looking through a book or portfolio. They're looking at the image, they're looking at what it was. So I would say to anyone that's looking to get a start in this career, make stuff, find opportunities to make stuff, use opportunities in classes. If there's an option between writing a paper and making a video, make the video. That shows something cool. It shows something unusual. It's something that if you're proud of, show it off when you're in your next job interview or when you're in your next opportunity to be involved in a new extracurricular activity. I think that's a big part. Another thing that I'd say, though, and this was advice that Casey Jones gave me. He said to treat your job as a craft in marketing. And this was something that I didn't really understand what he meant at all when he said that. I thought of like woodworking and things like that, or like cabinetry. And I chatted with him about it, and I was like, this isn't really landing for me. And he's like, I want you to think about it. And so he had me think about it. And I thought about it for about a year in my first job. And as I thought about it more and more, and as I chatted with him again later and was grateful that either he was placating me and saying like, yeah, you're totally on track with what you're thinking, or that I had actually come to some helpful conclusions with this, but that it was the care and time and consideration, passion and interest that people put into crafts in their lives. And that could be woodworking or cabinetry or whatever, but to make things great, to do that with how you approach your job, how you approach your job in marketing and in advertising, how to think like, oh, how are we going to make this even better? How can I learn from the last thing that I did? How can I make sure that I'm being thoughtful in my approach, but doing it in a way that doesn't slow things down? This has a big pace, a fast pace to it, where you need to keep up, and it can be pretty difficult. But to have that mindset has helped me quite a bit, and I've shared that many times with folks, and I know several that have really appreciated that over the years.
Jordan also shared what internships may look like in this space and some best practices on differentiating yourself in the process.
I think that the best interns that I've seen, though, are ones that will take the list and start to really like synthesize it and say like, oh, these are the sorts of things I'm being asked to do. I'm going to even add to that. I'll think of things that I could bring that seem like they're in line with this. I'll talk to my manager about this and say like, hey, you're asking for this kind of information. It also made me think about this that I could do. Would that be helpful to you? Sometimes it will be, sometimes it won't. I'd say very often, especially as an intern, that the managers would say like, that's awesome. Give that a try. Let's see what you can come up with. So I would say that internships very often are pretty like research heavy or project management, like support heavy often, or that you're kind of getting involved with like, oh, I get to attend some meetings and kind of see how things look. It is a meeting heavy experience in this line of work. You're often in meetings with clients, or you're often in internal meetings where you're discussing projects or coming up with new ideas. And so as an intern, that sort of exposure can be really valuable to just kind of see how things function, see how things work. I'd say that if at all possible for folks who are looking to be interns and you are studying at the University of Utah, and especially if you're from this area or from the West, like find opportunities elsewhere for your internships. Really work inside of the resources at the university, the connections that different departments can have and that the School of Business can have about like, oh, maybe I can get an internship in New York or Chicago or overseas. Those can be really valuable things and things that potential employers see as like, oh, well, what did you do when you were in, you know, Singapore or whatever? It can be really impressive and speak much more to your skills than even the list of skills that you'll include in your resume or that you could talk about afterwards.
We hear it everywhere, the idea that everyone hates advertising. But when asked what that means to Jordan, he provided great perspective on good versus bad advertising and how he's helped convey that to others.
Because I think that there's tons of advertising that's terrible or that's off-putting or boring. You don't even notice it. I think we all have our perspectives on what we think about ads and what we think about marketing. A funny thing, a while back, I had a youth group, some high schoolers come to our agency a few years ago. I remember asking them like, so what do you guys think about advertising? And here I am like in our building's cool. And I'm thinking they'd be like, it seems sweet. And they're like, advertising sucks. And I'm like, geez, this, you know, group of 15 to 17 year olds. But I'd prepared for that sort of a response. And we were in one of our cool conference rooms. And I said, well, let's talk about, you know, why advertising sucks. And what people in the room said was like, it's annoying. It interrupts me. I just want to get to my YouTube videos. Like a lot of YouTube video annoyance from this particular group. Then I said, that makes total sense. Those are things that are interruptive. They can be irksome. Then I clicked to the next slide and showed Xbox and said, what do you guys think about Xbox games? And they're like, oh, Xbox games are sweet. And I said, oh, interesting. And then I clicked to the next slide and said, what do you think about this particular game? And showed one of the games. And they were like, oh, man, I can't wait to play that one. It's one that was coming out like in 2 months. And I showed some creative that we'd done for this particular game. And it had a click to get a game preview. Like, oh, can I get a game preview? And they're like crawling over each other to try to get this game preview. And I'm like, you can all have a game preview and you've all just responded to an ad. And they were like, oh, you know, like, and the products themselves, the kind of ways that they're presented, the ways that people will either say like, oh yeah, thanks for nudging me a bit on this. I'd love to get more information. Or that particular nudge I'm not interested in, but I can move on to the next thing. It's not that big of an interruption in my life. It's not that big of a deal. It's interesting to work with clients and to have conversations with them where we're often opting to make a much more compelling YouTube spot and always making sure that the skip is available. But to say like, hey, can I intrigue you enough? And can I make sure I don't annoy you at the same time? It's kind of an interesting like microcosm of it. And where within the first 5 seconds, if someone says like, oh, that seems kind of interesting and not like clickbaity or stuff like that, but like, oh, you're telling me something that I'm interested in. You're serving up this ad in a way that it's hitting me when I am at a moment of interest or when I am at some spot in the funnel. I think the biggest part of advertising annoyance is the waste component to it. That so many of the ads that are out there don't apply to me. Like I'm not interested in that medicine. I'm not interested in that particular brand of insurance or something like that. But with greater, more focused targeting tools, with ways of being much smarter about developing campaigns, ways of being smarter about developing the creative and messaging, there's so many cool things to do inside of that and ways to really meet a goal of like, you're hitting the right folks, you're not annoying people along the way, and you're helping people to take the next step. And I love that media platforms and targeting platforms keep becoming more and more sophisticated to be able to do that better.
One of the most important attributes of someone working in advertising is being open and adaptable to change. Jordan emphasized how crucial it is to keep up with and embrace trends and technological advancements that continue to evolve over time.
So when I started in advertising specifically, I was given the advice that I would need to relearn everything every 5 years. And I think that that has shrunk to about every 2 or 3 years. Like, I feel like a lot of platform knowledge, tech knowledge, other kind of hands-on knowledge has completely expired, like, in about a 2 to 3 year time frame. And if I'm not staying on top of things, it's embarrassing at the least and harmful at the worst. You need to stay on top of what's out there and what's available. AI is the talk of everyone right now in everything. I have actually found ChatGPT personally to be about the best, most reliable first draft copywriter I could have asked for in the world. I love working with different writers. I've yet to find one that can give me back something inside of 30 seconds, but very often where it's like, oh, this is something that I can react to. It's not there, but it's something that I can say, like, oh, here's some ways that this was approached that's really interesting, or here's headline options that we can start thinking about, or other things that way. But I think that the people I've seen and worked with that have embraced that technology will change, and that it's fun and interesting, tend to do really well in this career path. People who get annoyed that technology is changing or that consumer habits are changing, you just get left behind. And I've seen some really kind of heartbreaking examples of that, where really talented media buyers have been fixated on being great at buying television. And you say, man, that was an awesome skill from the 90s to the early 2000s. And people's habits changed drastically. And it's just not as valuable. There's not as many clients that are saying, like, how much can we buy in traditional television? Still happening quite a bit, especially in like sports or big events and things like that. But for the most part, it's gone down so much, and it's gone up elsewhere. And the cool thing that I keep seeing is that the overall spend, the overall amount of activity that's happening keeps growing, keeps becoming deeper, and with way more tools and way more things to get involved with and to be excited about and find interesting. And the trick with that is staying on top of it, having that curiosity throughout your career, the curiosity of wanting to learn more, wanting to look into the next subject, and not getting like sentimental about what was. And it's interesting too, because you'd think in an agency where, like, your job is to have the tools, whatever tools you want to specialize in, or if you want to be more generalized, but your job is the tools. It's not that you need to have a favorite tool, and it's not that any tool should be like, oh, well, I just like this one more than others, or I've grown comfortable with it. It's whatever tools will help reach people in the right ways and to hit those things that don't get the 15-year-olds to be super annoyed at your spots, but to say, like, yeah, this is interesting, or whoever your target is, to say, ah, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing it at a time that matters to me, I'd love to check this out.
When asked about the present and future of advertising, Jordan urges students to keep the following in mind.
After seeing the cycles that I've seen in my career, I'm convinced that the fundamentals are great. And knowing the fundamentals, understanding how the fundamentals work, understanding how strategy works, understanding how to reach audiences, how to be compelling in information, how to give people a breadcrumbed path so that they would say, like, yes, give me more, please give me more, I'm ready for a conversation now, and to be thoughtful about the different kinds of products, the different kinds of buying cycles, all of that is so good and so helpful to know and so helpful to make sure that you keep going back to those fundamentals, because sometimes you can get caught up by the trends and not think about those fundamentals as time goes on. But the trends are always interesting, and it's always good to stay on top of it and to make sure that you know what else is coming up. And I would just say that knowing that customers want to be appealed to, and knowing that there are platforms to do so, and to really be agnostic about which platforms, to think, like, what one's going to be most effective, and if it doesn't work like how I've hypothesized, I rethink it, I get back on it, I try it again, and that I'm open about those results with clients as time goes on too. That's something that I would say that goes probably more back to an earlier question than like the future of marketing and advertising. But being the kind of person that will share bad news with clients and that will say like, yeah, this thing that we thought and that we were all convinced would be great, it hasn't been. And here's a different thought, here's a different solution. To be able to have the courage to do that, to have the like fight those urges of holding things back and to just say like, hey, here's what's going on and here's what we can do about it. Here's how we can make things better. And then to live up to those next commitments or those next ways of improving, all of that matters so much. And that's where I've seen long-term relationships and where I've seen relationships grow and where I've seen customers get information and buy products and services.
We are so grateful for University of Utah professor and advertising professional Jordan Howe for taking the time to chat with our team on all things advertising and agency life.
If you're interested in learning more about working in an agency setting, searching for internships, or looking to get professional feedback on a portfolio, feel free to reach out to Jordan on LinkedIn or gain some hands-on experience in his class next semester.
As always, thanks for listening. I'm Riley.
And I'm Diego.
And this has been another episode of
Hey You.